Good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin for Turning Towards Life, our third space project. Doesn't feel like the right word, but that's what we're calling it. We are very happy to be here today and to be celebrating the wonderful Mary Oliver as part of Turning Towards Life. It is, a Sunday at 9 a.m, which is, we said Monday, whoops. We're here every Sunday, so if you're new to our group, we've had a flurry of new joiners in the last week or so. So if you're new, you are very, very welcome in this space with us. If you are someone who's been around for a while, we are grateful that you're still here. And we somehow have this wonderful group of 800 or so people who are signed in and up for this conversation each week. So that continues to be very miraculous for us to feel that and to be in that understanding. And this last week, my sister and I did an event in Hammersmith, and I met a very lovely person from our group who I'd never met before. And you know who you are, I'm sure, because it was such a sweet thing to meet. And Justin, I haven't told you this yet either. It was so lovely. So this wonderful woman came up and said hello to me with this thing that happens when I meet somebody from Turning Towards Life, which is that they know me and I don't know them yet. And so I get to be like instant friends. There's a way that they've heard me and my voice and the conversations we've had. And it's a very wonderful, miraculous thing to meet somebody who's been in this group in person. So I would obviously love to meet everybody in this group at some point, and maybe we should be designing for that even more. But I particularly this week feel it feels like the miracle of this group, that I then get to meet people who already understand what we're up to in the world. And when I meet them, there's an immediate bond. And so I'm grateful that that's what this is creating. So if you ever get a chance to come and meet us, it's a very, very lovely experience for us. And I hope for you as well when we do our physical in-person programs, of which, Justin, you are doing tomorrow and the next day, aren't you, in Smith?
So good morning, everyone. I'm so pleased to hear that, Lizzie. And I have a very similar experience when I get to meet people for all of the difficulties and pitfalls that there are in this technology that we're using. There are also some extraordinary gifts. I'm very glad to be using them in that way. Mm-hmm. And glad to be here. This is week 68.
Wow.
And you called it rightly, I think, Lizzie, a third space project, but it's also, as we've said many times, it's a kind of practice.
Yeah.
And one of the things for anyone who's ever been with us as we begin to teach and explore the kind of coaching that we have got very committed to, one of the things that we say very early on, which you'll know, of course, Lizzie, is that it's our practices that shape the way the world shows up. Not just as we seem to have convinced ourselves in so many ways in the world, if you change your thinking, everything will change. And we say very committed to, it takes changing practice. And it takes living a life of practice to change things. And exactly what you're talking about, that you just said, is an example that through, I know that doing this changes us through the doing of it. That's clear to me. But it also changes the world and I don't mean in some grandiose way. I mean in quite small, quite close in, but very significant ways. One of the ways it changes the world is who gets to meet who. And it could never do that if this was a one-off. It happens because it's a practice. So I'm really glad to be in this practice 68 weeks in, I think. I just said. So that was one thing I was going to say by way of beginning. Oh, and I know the other thing I was going to say is, yes, I am teaching and leading the 2-day introduction to our approach to coaching that we call integral development coaching. It's Sunday today, the something of January and maybe the 19th, the 20th. And on the 21st and 22nd in London, in Hammersmith, I am indeed doing that. And we do have a place free. So if any of you decide on a whim or out of some deep wish or longing that you want to join us, just drop us a note in the comments on Facebook, or you can visit thirdspacecoaching.com and find the email address on the contact page. Drop us an email and we can make that possible. It would be wonderful to have you with us. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very lovely group that's joined, that's coalesced around it, and we're going to have a very good couple of days, I think. Mm-hmm. One of the things I know that we're going to do over the couple of days is read and include a poem by Mary Oliver, who we are reading this morning, and there'll be all kinds of poetry over the next 2 days. But here today, the reason that it was my week to pick a source, the reason I've picked this is not only because Mary Oliver's poetry is extraordinary and important, but also because she died this week. Mm. So we, of course, found out that the flow of Mary Oliver poems into the world has ended. And that feels very significant. And I realised when I heard that she died, I had assumed that she would always be in the world. She was one of these people. She'd been old for quite a long. She'd been old for as long as I'd known her poetry. So I kind of had it in my mind that she would always be around. So this comes because it feels like an important topic, and also out of gratitude for everything that she has brought. And a sense of wanting to say, if you haven't come across Mary Oliver's poetry before, please find her and see how many extraordinary poems she wrote and what they do in the world.
Mm.
So I'm just reaching for this now. It had gone away from my screen.
Justin, you said that her poetry had stopped coming into the world, which of course her body's no longer able to practice writing poetry. So yes, that's true. But I don't know about your feed and your social media, but what I've seen is the most extraordinary amount of people who loved Mary Oliver that I'd never had the conversation with about Mary Oliver in my community, which is one that's wide and international and varied. I'm completely amazed by almost every three things on my Instagram and my Facebook were Mary Oliver for the last days. And so I've learned loads more Mary Oliver poems than I'd ever read before, from things that don't even seem to have a book that they're in, and all kinds of things, and pieces of art. I mean, this is a thing about Instagram. There are pieces of art made around Mary Oliver's work like you would not believe.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much about just how extraordinarily wide reaching her work is, and into what kind of worlds. And so it's been a real foot on the accelerator of Mary Oliver this week for me, and I feel so grateful and so moved by just how grateful everybody is who knows her, and the outpouring of beauty in celebration of her life has been extraordinary.
Mm. And of course I knew it when I said it, actually, that the creation of new Mary Oliver poems by Mary Oliver has ended, but the reach of her work may only just be entering its a new phase. And that's the way with all of us, you know, even if, and I think that's to do with what we're going to read as well, that even if there wasn't this flurry of activity, I know that her work continues to change me, and because it changes me, it changes how I can be with other people. For sure.
Yeah.
And that's I suppose that's one of the things that we principles that we've got very dedicated to in Third Space, and also it feels like it's a real expression of this in here, Lizzie, which is that very often it's these moments of genuine relationship, the moment where something may be said, that they are really important moments. Something changes close in because of this. And of course, things that change close in also change far out in all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing as well. So here it is. This is an extract from a poem by Mary Oliver called The Fourth Sign of the Zodiac. And I think that the history of this poem is, so the fourth sign of the Zodiac is Cancer. And she wrote this poem either when she knew that she was first unwell or when the great love of her life first became unwell. I can't remember which way around this went. And this is just one part, part three. I know you never intended to be in this world, but you're in it all the same. So why not get started immediately? I mean, belonging to it. There is so much to admire, to weep over, and to write music or poems about. Bless the feet that take you to and fro. Bless the eyes and the listening ears. Bless the tongue, the marvel of taste. Bless touching. You could live 100 years. It's happened. Or not. I'm speaking from the fortunate platform of many years, none of which I think I ever wasted. Do you need a prod? Do you need a little darkness to get you going? Let me be urgent as a knife then, and remind you of Keats, so single of purpose, and thinking, for a while, he had a lifetime.
I know you never intended to be in this world, but you're in it all the same. So why not get started immediately? I mean, belonging to it. There is so much to admire, to weep over, and to write music or poems about. Bless the feet that take you to and fro. Bless the eyes and the listening ears. Bless the tongue, the marvel of taste. Bless touching. You could live 100 years. It's happened, or not. I'm speaking from the fortunate platform of many years, none of which I think I ever wasted. Do you need a prod? Do you need a little darkness to get you going? Let me be as urgent as a knife then, and remind you of Keats, so single of purpose and thinking. For a while, he had a lifetime.
I live around the corner from the house where Keats, who, for anyone who doesn't know, was an amazing poet, also lived. So whenever I walk past his house, I often think about this, that he died when he was 20-something. And I think that's important to know in reading this poem. So one of the things I love about this, there are many, many things that I love about this, is the combination of darkness. Like, sometimes we really, really need to be reminded what the score is if we're going to live. And I certainly find this very helpful, just from my own lived experience and then from remembering is it's so easy to go to sleep. Mm. So easy to think, for me anyway, to think, today doesn't really matter because I'll always have tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. And often that's true. I do have tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. But boy, is it not a given. And I don't know if Mary Oliver had in her own life, in her own experience, maybe she knew people who can do what I can so easily to do, which is to kind of zone out because life is hard and confusing and complicated, and I can't see where it's going, and I feel small, and it's just to want to hibernate until it's all over, which usually means until things get better. You know, until, I don't mean, usually when I'm like that, I don't mean till life is over. I mean, one day I'll know what to do. One day I'll have it all figured out, and then I can speak, and then I can write, and then I can touch, and then I can love, and then I can create. And so I know that I need Mary Oliver's urgency of the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Say, actually, today might be the day that I die. Easily could be. So what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
I find it really, the encounter with the unknowability about our end or how things are going to go in her hands becomes wake up.
Yeah. Hmm. I feel somehow in this moment in touch with the fact that I love the word prod. And I feel like this thing of the knife and waking up is so true for me as well. And in some ways, I think you started out on this little idea of, well, what about on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and it, you know, it works for our schedules and it's not too disruptive for you, you know, your family and my practices of being with people and things I do on the weekend and blah, 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 blah. And I feel like we've ended up with a weekly prod, and the practice of prodding feels so important, and the practice of finding ways to be woken in the midst of an everyday sleep that is so easy to succumb to. You know, it moves me so much to feel the lines where she blesses things. You know, all the ways that I can walk somewhere and not even know my feet have existed on the way, and all the ways that I can take it for granted that I can hear you right now or see you, and all the ways that I can take for granted that I could hold someone's hand and feel their flesh or touch their face or give someone a kiss and taste my lunch. And it feels such a beautiful invitation, and also a prod, to not take those things for granted. And there is something about the way that Mary writes that has me feel it. Whatever that is, the way she arranges things, what the words are, how it's written, the subjects, the combination of it all, I just feel the big invitation of her life is landing ever more in me. And I saw something yesterday online, one of her famous quotes is, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but, you know, so what are you going to do with your one wild and precious life? And then someone had written underneath that, by the way, this doesn't mean some grand idea of success or something. Because what Mary Oliver did with her one wild and precious life was that she dedicated her life to being amazed by the world and nature and wandered through the fields in amazement, which is really different to some ideas of success that we might have or pinnacles of life that we might have picked up along the way from our culture. And so to feel that ambition of hers, which was realized in the way she says it that she never wasted a year in her view of what life was all about. I feel so given permission to be appreciative and to absorb and to feel like I've really received the experience of being human in reading this poem and feeling into her as a person and what her invitation as herself stood for all of us. I just feel in receipt of that right now.
She makes an amazing move that is coming to me from what you're saying. Is he? Fourth line in. Third and fourth line. So why not get started immediately? I mean belonging to it. And it really struck me whilst you were talking in the way that you just were, that so many of us live in a way that we've been taught by our wider culture. So it's understandable that we live in this way, which is, I'll belong to the world when. And it's really usually one of the forms in which it shows up is the one that is tied to the very particular definitions of success that have come to us in the last 150 years. I'll belong to the world when I get my school results. I'll belong to the world when I've made X amount of money. I'll belong to the world when I'm promoted to this or that position. I'll belong to the world when I'm famous. I'll belong to the world when I'm in a relationship. I'll belong to the world when I'm married. I'll belong to, I could go on. And it's almost as if what we're taught from the start is you don't belong to the world. You do not belong. We have a really strong narrative of separateness, which feeds our old narratives of individuality as well. And we have lost mostly, I think, any of the practices or ways of being in the world that remind us that we are of the world, that we're born of the earth and we return to the earth, that we can never be separate from it. We're made from earth stuff. Mm-hmm. But so much of that is invisible, and then our lives are always waiting to belong, and the negative comparison that comes from that, and the kind of misguided striving that often gets us into to belong. Yeah. So it's such a it's extraordinary that she can puncture that so quickly and say, get started immediately. Project number one, belong. And once we know we belong, we can start to see the world in the way that she says, blessing our feet and touching and tongue and taste. And and it strikes me also that there's a very clear invitation in this poem to make art.
Yeah.
Right? To make things that can be shared and that will touch and move and inspire and teach and wake up and soothe and whatever others, and invite others to belong to. And that one of the things that we can do as human beings is that we can make stuff, words, music, poems, whatever, that really go far into the lives of the people around us and maybe even further too, and also have us belong. And that's the thing that we get to start when we know we belong as the background. We then don't have to wait and say, well, I'll do that when I feel safe. I'll do it when I understand. Mm. I'll do it when my bank account is big enough.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful to her for that because it's so counter to our wider culture, which I think says to us, wait and accumulate. It keeps the economy going in a particular way. Wait and accumulate, and then maybe one day you'll have your chance to say what there is to say.
Yeah.
No, she's saying absolutely not. Begin today.
When you say that as well, like So why not get started immediately? I mean, start belonging to it. I can find myself going like, ooh, ooh, like this is really exciting. Like I can feel my energy shift. Because I think one of the ways I experience the world is that I'm acutely aware of how risky this whole deal is, of how much I love and how much I am attached to mainly the humans in my life, and how frightening that feels, that things could, people could die, people can get hurt, bad things happen, that kind of thing. And so there's a kind of way I think I slightly hold myself away so that it's less risky. And when we start to talk about belonging to the world, I also feel like it's about belonging to one another too. And in that belonging to one another, there's this inherent risk. And so I need inviting again and again. I need things to invite me, whether it's, you know, being kissed yesterday by my nephew and him looking at me and holding my face as if I was a child and he was the adult. That makes me feel like I am back in the belonging game again, because it's worth the risk, kind of thing. Or a poem like this, it feels like I have to practice rebelonging myself and to say yes to the invitations to belonging, being quiet of what it takes to belong and to feel it for myself and to receive the fact that it's true, like you said, that I am of the earth and that this is my world, like I belong to it and it belongs to me, like it's I'm in it and of it, rather than I'm like a Lego piece on a piece of surface or something and nobody can see me and I'm kind of insignificant and I can just skulk about in the background or something. Which is really different. I belong here and I'm part of this and it's mine and I'm responsible for it and it's responsible for me and I'm deeply intertwined physically, spiritually, everythingly into this physical human experience. And I think that's the other thing that I appreciate about Mary Oliver is I feel like she was really integrated with the earth and the actual physical world. Like she was completely in and involved with a flower, involved with a life, involved with the humans. And that's really, again, a deep invitation that is so appealing to me, to feel like I can really wholeheartedly, with abandonment and freedom, participate into what's on offer. That feels such a big part of the way I feel moved and shaped into a new, refreshed invitation from this particular poem, which, by the way, I'm so grateful that you know how to find these things and find off the beaten track items that are such beauty.
I've said this before, but something I learned from Mary Oliver that I've learned to do is to walk out of my house and find some trees, particularly when I'm afraid. And I feel like I, exactly as you were saying, Lizzie, so much can happen that's so frightening. Mm-hmm. I don't belong until I don't feel afraid anymore, until I've got it sorted. And to go and stand with trees. Trees are my choice because they're so big and so silent and you can't discount them or miss them. And to get really close to a tree and to start to feel that I belong in the same way that the trees belong. And that I and the trees and everyone and everything that I know are really not so different to one another. And we all grew out of this earth. We're all sustained by this earth, and we're all not at all separate from it. But when I start to know that, when I start to feel that kind of belonging that I think was Mary Oliver's life practice, because it comes with that astonishment and amazement that any of this is here at all, what I find is that I can be afraid and I can still be present and take action. And I can love people and be in contact with other people without being so afraid for my own safety. Like, I don't have to wait to belong with them. And then I find my capacity to write and to walk and to sing and to teach and to love and to touch and all the things that she's talking about. It undoes the separation that I so easily feel. Maybe, and this might be a topic for another time, because we need to end any second, but maybe one of the differences between us and trees that blinds us to this is that we have culture which can enliven us and inspire us and teach us, but can also cover things up. And the other thing is that's quite different to trees is that we're born, so we get physically separated from the bodies in which we've grown. And we're always having to deal with the trauma of having felt at one with something and then feeling bodily separate from it. And then we need to be taught back in to our belonging that's nevertheless present, even though our bodies are separate. And that's often what Mary Oliver is doing. It's not a topic I've ever seen her take up in that way, but she teaches us back into our belonging in the world that we need so badly, and that we really need now, because so many of the troubles that we're in are because we won't take ourselves as belonging to the same world that the trees and the seas belong in, and that we won't take ourselves as belonging to the same world that people fleeing terrible oppressions belong to. It's a crisis of not belonging ourselves, I think, is partly what drives so many of the difficulties we're in. So I know that we're at the end for today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anything else you want to say, Lizzie, before we close.
No, I just want to appreciate that this makes my day different. You know, just to get here, to sit here, to be open to our sources, and to be in conversation with you, and to be in service of ourselves and whoever else is with us here in the listening in this moment, whether now or at some point in the future, if somebody's listening to this, somehow it meets a hell of a lot of criteria of having me be invited into a continued deepening of my life. And I'm really, really, really grateful for that.
Me too. And thank you to everyone for being with us. As Lizzie says, either now, I can see that people have been joining us live this morning, but I know many people also come back later. So we're glad that you're with us, whichever way you find your way to us. And final reminder that if you'd like to join me in London tomorrow and Tuesday, the 21st and 22nd, drop us a note. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.